You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. Whole Foods Market is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network and the Department of Transportation's Summer Streets, a three-day series of events dedicated to healthy, active living on the car-free streets of New York City. Join us at the Whole Foods Market City Picnic Area on 24th Street and Park Avenue the first three Saturdays in August. Find more information at the DOT's website, keyword Summer Streets.
We talk about food. We talk about music. With musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Pizza right then. That was Ill Fits, Blood and Devotion. They're playing live on the second half of Snacky Tunes. I'm half your host, Terry Diabolic, with a mouthful of delicious Roberta pizza. DJ Never Forget is in Portland. Thank God he made it out there. His flight was delayed 4 hours, 5 hours last night. Nuts. Anyway, in studio with us is Leo Kramer from Dos Toros. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. Also, just finishing a bite of delicious pizza. Apropos.
First time, right?
Yeah, first time.
So, you know, we heard about Dos Toros through our good friend, Jordana Rothman,
from Time Out. And she actually didn't tell us. I was actually having to, I have read about it. And, you know, for years, everyone had always said that one of the things that's missing in New York is San Francisco-style Mexican food, and no one could really understand why it didn't exist. And then last year, Dos Toros came along and fixed that problem.
That's what we're all about.
So tell us about the birth and the genesis and the evolution of Dos Toros and working with your brother, Oliver.
Yeah, totally. Well, it was a slow and steady genesis and evolution. The genesis and evolution really was just from us eating burritos like daily growing up in Berkeley in the Bay Area, and without even realizing it, it kind of was like defining our whole food consciousness and culture. And then hearing about from all of our friends in New York that there was nothing here that could compete.
Mm-mm,
and
nothing.
Thinking that was weird, you know, because New York's like, you know, this mecca for food, and you expect to have at least a moderate level of every cuisine.
I mean, there's like expensive stuff like that was decent.
Right. I'm speaking really specifically about taqueria experience.
I'm aware.
You know what's up. But yeah, there is expensive, good Mexican food. And there's good, like, kind of cheap, like, Mexican food. See, the whole name Mexican food is tricky.
It's tricky.
Because, like, a burrito, you know, we call that Mexican food, but no one in Mexico
eats burritos. No.
But, so,
I mean, it was like when ethnic food got popular in like the 60s and 70s. And that's when they started doing like have Mexican night. And that's sort of like burritos and tacos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But so you guys, so you were living in San Francisco.
Yeah, in Berkeley.
In Berkeley. And then you came out to New York with this idea, or you just came out to New York and you were like, oh, we're here. We're working bad day jobs and didn't have any burritos.
No, we came out with this idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never really heard of anyone coming to New York to like start a very, I mean, I guess it's very specific business. Because, you know, opening up a restaurant in New York, you know, why didn't you want to open up just another really good burrito place in San Francisco?
I mean, the whole concept was to bring something where it wasn't. It's like, it wasn't our burning desire to like innovate, you know, in the kitchen and make beautiful new things and express our, you know, creative kind of like whatever instincts. It was
like poached sea bass burritos and things like that.
Right, yeah. We felt like it was perfected. The whole idea was just to bring it out to New York, not improve on it, because it can't be improved on.
No. So your business is Access.
Access.
Can I ask you what your favorite burrito place is in San Francisco?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's a tough question. We grew up on a place called Gordo Taqueria.
I'm aware of Gordo Taqueria.
There's like five of those in the Bay Area. Gordo's great, but there's people who don't think Gordo's is, you know, much more than average. Because it's not in the Mission District, and the Mission District is kind of, you know, the birthplace.
Mm-hmm.
Gordo's is based on a place called La Taqueria.
Which I love.
Which is excellent. But La Taqueria doesn't use rice in their burritos, which is kind of insane, and yet they're awesome. It's weird.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When I get burritos, I usually ask for a minimal amount of rice.
I hear you on not wanting too much rice, because too much rice is a bummer.
I mean, that's...
But
I mean,
no rice?
I know, but that's the problem with Chipotle totally. Or something like that. Is it's like you're literally getting like a pound and a half of rice.
It's a rice bomb.
It's a rice bomb. It's
and
a rice
and the rice isn't good.
Yeah. El Farolito, Cancun.
I mean, they're killers.
They're killers.
Yeah, Cancun's a killer. Yeah, Pancho Villa, La Cumbre, Guadalajara. I mean, it's a murderer's row.
So you're working with your brother. You have this idea. What from when this idea, like, how did the idea come about? And then from idea inception to completion, what was the timeline? What did that look like?
Well, I mean, the idea came about years ago because, you know, we had friends in New York. We have family in New York. We've been out here. It kind of had dawned on us there was no good Mexican food, which we feel like, you know, is huge and
travesty, or was it travesty?
Yeah, and if only you could be successful, if only just selling to ex-West Coasters living in New
which
York.
Which there are a ton of.
Of which there are very many, and they'd be kind of, you know, they're whatever the people who kind of found out about it early on and got excited. But it seemed so clear to us that if someone did this, they'd, you know, they'd do great.
And that's what everyone said. That's literally the conversation that everyone had about Mexican food, like San Francisco Mexican food in New York. Said if someone could just figure out how to do it, it'll take off. And what I never said, it's not tough food to make.
It's not that
It's not
hard.
Like the mysterious ingredient of black beans.
No. In fact, our mistake at first when we were doing recipe testing was we tried to have each ingredient like wow you just all by itself.
Yeah.
So the pico de gallo was like had lots of flavor, and the beans, we cooked them with like epazote and mm-hmm. crazy herbs, and you put it together in a burrito, in those whatever 9 different recipes, and it was really chaotic. It was like cacophonous.
I mean, the best thing about burritos is when you make a burrito, is to get a little bit of everything in every bite.
Integration.
So did you go to culinary school, or like where's the background in food come from?
There is no food background. There was just like mouth background, you know?
Yep.
It was reverse engineering, and we just did a lot of cooking and a lot of testing because we knew what the flavor was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like working backwards from that. And then we hooked up kind of halfway through the process of getting things ready with a great chef named Miguel Franco.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Who's killer, and he's our head chef. And he really helped us, you know, take the recipes to the next level and define them and make them, like, scalable. And he just made the flavor, like, really pop.
It's great. All right, so we're going to take a quick musical break.
Totes.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the launch of the first store, the second store in Carmine, and the one on the Upper East Side.
Cool.
I'm going to eat more pizza. Well, I'm going to continue eating pizza.
I got my eye on a slice right now.
Yeah. Sometimes you, and that's the thing I found about pizza. Sometimes you get your eye on a slice and you just, like, got to play it cool that no one takes that slice. Now, so this next song. Sorry, I'm so hungry today. I just can't stop eating. This one goes out to The Rapture, who played 3 incredible shows over last weekend, and their new album, and it's incredible. And I think they're going to pick up the mantle where LCD Sound System took off in April, and they're going to pick it up. I think they're going to be the next ones. They're just going to run with it. I think it's their time. But this is the first track off the new album, Sail Away, here on Snacky Tunes on heritageradionetwork.com. right. Rapture, Sail Away. So good. That whole album. The final song is, what's it called? Something about what it takes to be a man. It's a love song that he wrote to his wife for 10 years.
Whoa.
It's like, I'm telling you, it's like the I Love You, New York.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. So we're here with Leo from Dos Toros. I got to say, my favorite burrito place in the city, and that's also because there's no Tex-Mex as well. I think I'm a little bit more devoted to Tex-Mex, but really only just Migos. I think I like San Francisco style. I think my favorite dish, one of their dishes, is the quesadilla suiza.
Yeah.
Do you guys do that?
No.
What's up?
You know, we keep it super, super simple. We kind of, we don't offer that many options.
So let's talk about your menu. What's on your menu?
In terms of kind of vehicles, yeah. You know, you've got the burrito, taco, quesadilla, and then just kind of a plato. And that's it.
And no, you can't just throw a little suiza, no salt, no white sauce?
No.
Okay. That's
fair. No, I mean, it's just those things. And then, you know, you got kind of a grilled chicken or a grilled steak or a carnitas.
Where do you get your meat from? Where do you get your products from? You locally sourced, right?
Not all of them, but we do. The chicken is locally sourced and the pork's kind of quasi-local. We're working on that. But our beans also are from upstate New York, from this really cool farm called Cayuga.
Those black beans are awesome.
You know what's cool is they're really small. That's how you can tell that it's legit, organic, high quality beans, is they're smaller than what
not,
you're used
not
to.
Not those giant, behemoth black beans.
Yeah, our black beans are so small, and these guys come by, they're just these dirty, shaggy dudes, and they're really friendly, and they're cool. They just drop off these big sacks of beans, and
That's awesome. When designing the place and you're looking for location, what made you pick Union Square for your first restaurant?
I mean, we looked at 50 locations before that, and they were all not that good.
Yeah.
So we were kind of trying to choose between things that weren't that good, and then we saw that one, and it was so clearly just head and shoulders above the other ones, being by any kind of people.
But it's relatively small.
It was so small.
I mean, lines out the door, which is awesome. But it doesn't take much to get that line out the door.
No.
It's no offense.
No, it's tight.
But was that sort of, did you want to have a space that small?
Yeah, we kind of wanted a little sleeve,
Low overhead?
Well, yeah, that just felt like what we grew up with. Again, that was the exact kind of shape of the place that we grew up going to. It was 10 feet wide and 50 feet kind of deep. And it was just this little hallway.
But the one on Carmine Street's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it's a little bigger.
I love those bay windows.
I know. Those are awesome.
Sit there and watch people walk
by. That's high level people watching.
That is high level. That is a coveted seat.
I covet.
You covet? How often do you eat burrito? How often do you eat your own food?
I say 5 days a week.
Yeah?
But I mean, that's how often I was eating burritos in Berkeley.
Yeah.
So no difference.
So is there any... So you got to go to the Upper East Side, right?
Yeah, that's our next one.
Next one. Same menu, same deal, same everything?
Yeah, same deal. But it's going to feel different. Just, necessarily the space is kind of different and... I don't know, it's a different crowd. We'll see. We'll see what kind of develops up there.
Now, you work with your brother in the same way that I work with my brother. And in the break, we were talking about what that like. And you said that you said you had some idea that you'd work together or that you wouldn't be working together.
We've just always gotten along, kind of weirdly well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We just liked hanging out a lot. I don't think either of us ever really thought about working together, but when the idea came up, we both kind of were excited about it.
Now I know before this you used to play in Third Eye Blind, right?
Yeah,
toured with them.
I did. I was the touring bassist for a couple of years.
Did they not have an actual bassist?
Well, they had no. Their bassist was, he got kind of sick, and they needed someone, and it was just kind of between album cycles, and I toured them for a couple of years.
Now, what'd your brother do before this?
Smoke and drink a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So then when you had this idea come together, you're just like, were you happy to get off the road? Were you happy just to get into the restaurant business?
Yeah, I was. I was, I think I started to feel like music was going to just define my entire life if I wasn't careful. And I didn't really want it to. I mean, that's a good idea. And I had just kind of started an important relationship with somebody. And I realized that just couldn't even possibly exist with the musical life.
Oh. No, it is not an easy life being on the road and things like that. So, no. what do you guys play at the restaurant?
Carefully handpicked kind of instrumental funk mostly, and it's some Sublime songs and some weird songs from South America and stuff like that.
What makes the cut as burrito eating music?
I think there's got to be some rhythm.
Yeah.
Because you need rhythm when you're eating a burrito.
Absolutely.
You need kind of endurance and rhythm and set your pace.
Yeah,
nothing too fast, nothing too slow. Kind of mid-tempo.
Mid-tempo.
Syncopation. You know, just like good drums.
Good drums. You're a bass player, right?
I am a bass player.
Any bass lines that you think about when you're eating the burrito? Making burritos?
Totally.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Cool in the Gang.
Mm.
There's some bass lines. There's this one song called Summer Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the keyboard at the beginning. And like long keyboard solo, and the bass is just kind of grooving.
Just grooving.
It's a very sexual song.
Very sexual song, and I guess eating a burrito.
Can be.
What's your choice when you're stepping up to the plate to order? What do you get?
I'm a moving target, but lately I'm rocking a basic quesadilla, just rice and beans quesadilla. We do these kind of weird quesadillas, like a trifold.
I love them.
It's kind of like almost a miniature like crispy burrito.
Now you guys steam your cheese, right?
Yeah, we slice. We get these big blocks of Monterey, and
yep.
we slice it in the store into these like little kind of slices so that we can steam it onto our tortillas. Which for people that don't recognize that move, it kind of seems to like skeeve them out, but it's actually like a legit thing to do.
It's a legit thing to do. My favorite place up in Boston was this place called Anna's Taqueria, and that was the first time.
Funny you bring up Anna's.
Go on.
Boston is the only city on the East Coast that has good burritos.
Yep. And I went to school there.
Right.
So my small Mexican background is that my senior year, this place called Mexicali
mm-hmm.
opened up in the suburbs we lived. It was a chef who worked downtown Philadelphia and opened up this thing, but there was never any real hours. It was, you know, whenever he could get there. So if we ever drove by, it was open, it was there. And that was the first time I had Mexican style food. And then I went to Boston and I discovered Anna's and, Big Burrito and all that stuff, which is
Boca Grande,
El Pelon. And so I'm like, oh, I guess this is just a type of cuisine that I didn't realize exists everywhere, not knowing that Boston was the only place that actually had good Mexican food.
What was really weird is that Anna's was started by like the brother-in-law of one of the co-owners of Gordo's.
Really?
And they got all their like recipes and like IP and all that stuff from Gordo's.
Huh.
So Anna's and Dos Toros are both like derivative of Gordo's.
Okay.
Which is why people who are into Anna's tend to be into Dos Toros.
Well, yeah. Well, no, when I got to Dos Toros, I was like, this is, cause it's the same machine. It's the same mm-hmm. thing. And just the way that you guys cook the quesadilla and it gets all crispy. That's what I mean. That crispiness is what does it for me. I'll get like a burrito filled quesadilla with all the fixings. Sometimes it'll look at me sideways, but I'm like, look, I know what I want.
I know, but you can't go too far. It's a zero sum game.
No,
tortilla
no.
doesn't expand. You
no,
know.
No. I know. I definitely cut down. Like I said, I get minimal rice. I get minimal rice, and that really helps. And so then you guys have another event coming up. You said tacos and tequila.
Tacos and tequila.
For the New York Wine Food Festival.
Yeah, but we're doing like a kind of a weird recipe. Well, we're involved in your event.
You were involved in our event, and you guys did some awesome... What was your dish again?
We did a kind of like slow-cooked, seared barbecue pork shoulder. And so then we did like this habanero barbecue sauce that was pretty hot and pretty happening.
And let's not forget the guacamole.
Well, yeah, we never forget. Well, actually, yeah, so we did a slaw-camole.
A guacamole?
Slaw-camole. We put like some... cabbage and like pineapple, and
it was awesome. See, that's a lot of fun, and that's one of the things that we go for at the food events we do, is try to get, especially when you guys have like such a limited, not limited, but
it is,
but you know, but the straightforward menu, it's always fun to get chefs to come out and be like, hey, like, here's an event, you know, pull out something flashy, you know, because you never know, something might really hit and be like, all right, we'll add one more item to the menu, because I bet you those pork tacos would be sellers.
Totally. No, it's a really cool way to test things out and stretch yourself. So we're doing a brisket for the tequila
I'll be
taco
there.
Event.
I'm going to get there early because I know that the things, they get crazy.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally.
They get crazy.
It's going to be nuts.
I wish I liked tequila more, but I'm sure I'll find a way to make it work.
Oh, I love tequila.
Yeah?
Yeah. Have you been to a place called Maya Huel?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Look, I'll drink it. I just don't. let's not have me on the record saying that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
What's all the nuts and bolts? Twitter, locations, website, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, just dostoros.com. It's pretty much got you filled in on everything. Got a Twitter thing and a Facebook thing.
I think
thing.
It's Dostoros NYC.
Yeah, Dostoros NYC Twitter. And yeah, we're going to the Upper East Side at about 77th Street in Lexington in a few weeks. So we're gearing up.
That's awesome. You guys going to do a launch party?
Oh, yeah.
We'll come up.
You're invited.
We'll talk. Thanks so much. Say hello to your brother for me.
I will.
And we got a couple songs coming up. First one's off the new Weekend mixtape, and then I think the title track off of the new Lo-Fi Funk album, Summerland, which we're pretty excited about because they haven't been like that. And then Illfits are playing live in the second half of the show, and we'll make sure that it's not too loud because I think the Immaculates blew the windows out of this when they played here a few weeks ago. And to check out that performance and other things, go to Snacky Tunes. You can just go to iTunes, all the podcasts, which your podcast will be up in a few minutes.
Awesome.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I'm Tie-Dye Balak from Finger on the Pulse. Shout out to Never Forget. And here we go.
like the wrong pill. Come to me. One day I'll love you, that you will remember me. When you fuck them, you'll see my face. My body's yours. Give them any other day, but Thursday. Belongs to me. Every Thursday. I wait for you. I'll be beautiful for you. Every Thursday. I exist.
We lost it much too soon. Summer was ending right in the middle of June. Plans that were spoken, and there's nothing you can do. Sleep through the winter, wake up the next June. See, I'm my mom. Hey, 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 I saw it come. I saw it fade away.
That was just Lo-Fi Funk. Before that, The Weeknd. two new albums that are dropping or have dropped. I guess The Weeknd's a more of a mixtape called Thursday. This is Snacky Tunes, and in studio we have with us Brooklyn's very own Ill Fitz. Boys, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Hey.
So why don't we go around the room, introduce who you are, say you are, what you play.
Okay. My name is Miles. I sing.
My name is Simon. I play guitar.
My name is Johnny. I play drums.
guitar.
And Will. I play the bass.
So you guys are actually parts of other bands to form this new whole, am I right?
To formed a new whole.
Huh? No, formed parts of other bands that formed a new band.
Yes.
And this came out as sort of just some downtime, some just sort of side projects. And I think I met most of you from Amazing Baby through Johnny. Do you guys talk about how the band formed and how it got together?
Ill Fitz?
Yeah.
Pretty much
Kerosene Hat.
Kerosene Hat, 90s cover band. I'm sure you know who they are.
Of course.
We started kind of just jamming around. We had a lot of, like, time off.
It was called Kerosene Hat.
Yeah. Kerosene. Started playing 90s covers.
Which ones?
All of them.
Cranberries.
Pretty much. Zombie.
Peaches.
Low.
A deep Chumbawamba track.
Deep Chumbawamba.
Deep Cut.
Yeah, Deep Cut.
Possibly the shallowest Chumbawamba.
Do they do they even have deep cuts, or was
they
it,
do? Lots of people are hardcore Chumbawamba fans.
Wasn't
they're
that
an anarcho punk collective?
I thought they just put that track on an album 12 times and called it a day.
No, man, they have a long history.
They do.
They play Dress Up a lot.
There's people whose favorite band is Chumbawamba.
And there's people who were devastated when that song came out.
Yeah.
I can only
because it was departure from their earlier. Like,
can you imagine if you pulled up some girl's Facebook profile and liked was Chumbawamba, like, and that was a serious thing?
If she was 68?
She was 68.
Yeah.
What are you doing looking at a 60-year-old's Facebook book profile?
Because I don't.
You looked at my grandmother's Facebook page. Is basically what you're saying.
So you guys were doing side projects. When did you? When's that watershed moment when you realize like this is more than just a side project and it becomes a main project?
When you realize you've been having fun for more than 3 hours straight by playing, I think.
Yeah.
You know, then that probably happened around June.
And when did you guys start?
I guess June.
So 3 hours after the first project, the practice, you're like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
The magic was instantaneous.
Well, I think, you know, we were talking about this before. I think one thing that's different about this band is we liked each other beforehand as people.
Okay.
And
Johnny, it took a little while to warm up to.
Yeah, he's a little...
He's from Boston.
Oh, that Boston guy.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Annas in the previous segment. You know Annas.
Little Stevie's. Mass Ave. No, Boylston.
Boylston, Jesus Christ.
Come on.
I'm such a donkey.
Come over
there. So you guys got together and y'all liked each other. I mean,
we liked each other first, and then we got together.
I'd like to clarify, the rest of us are not from Boston. I don't want there to be any confusion.
Can I ask, have you started a band with people that you don't like?
I think it
develops.
No. Start bands with people you don't know, and then...
eventually
grow to...
Not like...
Just like, I hate you. Like, I hate your face.
I like everybody.
Friends,
period.
But you guys hang out. So, alright, so let's get into a song. And then we'll come back. We'll talk about the first single. And then we'll, I don't know, talk about cooking and hanging out and eating on the road.
Alright, cool.
Alright, this is the Ill Fitz live on Snacky Tunes. Take it away.
You want to
do
it? Yeah, let's do it. Mic for it, Will.
Folks, we only have one song. Why don't we just do that one?
Yeah.
You ready?
Bye.
Fits live on Snacky Tunes.
One of my pedals turned to a guitar silencer pedal.
Okay, Blood and Devotion. All right. So
no excuses.
No excuses. This is live. This is happening. This is happening right now.
It's all happening.
Yeah. And all right. So you guys have been together since June of this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's real new.
Yeah.
Got fresh eyes on everything.
Yeah.
Shows. What have you played so far? What have you done?
First show was in our friend Morgan. Studio, that was just kind of a pre-first show, just for a couple friends.
Little friends and family, if you will.
Yeah.
A little soft opening.
Exactly.
I like how we didn't count it as an actual first though. Show, even though it was our first show.
It was our first show.
Yeah.
And then we had our first show.
First official show.
That was the Trapeze Jam.
At the Trapeze. At
Big Skyworks.
Big Skyworks.
Oh, Skyworks, yeah.
Yeah.
How was that? What
Big,
was that? What
Big
was that
Daddy's
for?
Trapeze hole.
God.
That was fun.
That was a great show.
Great food.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
We actually had Aerialists do things.
Was it
in between sets?
Was it better than the Big Top Circus or that Big Apple Circus?
There's no monkeys though.
I don't know what you're, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it was the last time that I saw Amazing Baby was at this event in the circus at the Lincoln Center, which
cleaning
was
cleaning up peanuts after
after
the show.
It was really nice. They like let you like play and then gave you bags to clean up and things like that.
Yeah.
So you guys, I'm assuming you guys haven't been on tour yet, but when you guys go out on tour, what's the food thing like? Do you guys cook a lot? Do you guys try and eat healthy, or do you fall into the pitfalls of fast food?
I maintain a very strict regimen of very precise fast food consumption.
Can you explain?
Like I'll get. May I have a cheeseburger, a small fry, and a large Diet Coke, please?
Single fry.
One fry.
Yeah. Or just the McChicken sandwich. And well, when
even if you're at Subway
or Burger King,
sir, I order the same. I order the same thing in every restaurant.
They get so pissed to talk about.
And often they feed me nothing.
So excuse me, sir. This is a hardware store,
sir.
This is a Salad Works. We don't have the Whopper. But I mean, do you guys try and cook, or I mean, where are you focused to eat on the road?
Last tour I did, I actually bought a microwave,
and
with you?
With me, yeah.
Weirdo.
I'm not even
the microwave app.
Dude, you have no idea how much money you like.
Donkeys can't use
microwaves. I wish it up supermarkets like Kroger's. Like Kroger's and get those little, like, you know, some microwavable soup things.
So you're plugging in a microwave at every club?
I go into the club and just like plug in the microwave at the bar. Not even ask the bartender.
I think you would bring rice makers.
Could you plug it in the van? Did you have like one of those adapters?
Yeah. No, we didn't try.
They would take too much.
Take too much.
It would. Microwaves take a lot of wattage, man.
Yeah, we thought about that. We didn't want to blow anything.
Hair dryers. So you just rest it on your balls. Yeah. Microwave stuff. Weird looking kids.
So you just show up like, yeah, that band was great last night, except for they left microwave burrito wrappers everywhere.
It actually worked though. It was awesome.
No, I mean, I think that's one of the pitfalls. The bigger pitfalls that you just spend so much money on just the worst food.
Actually, I heard a friend of mine yesterday just brought this to my attention. I don't know if it's totally true or not, but Taco Bell is now glomming onto young bands, giving them cards that give you like free tacos Bell for a year or something.
I think
is that true?
The suckers got like $500.
Yeah, they did. I spent them while I was with them the other night.
The suckers had like just like stacks and stacks of taco bucks.
They have a thing on their website where you fill out a thing. It's like, we are on the band's Warped Tour from October 13th. And then, you know, they give you.
Oh, we are?
Easy peasy.
Forgot to tell you guys, we're playing the seventh stage of the Warped Tour.
You guys could get, do topping salads, right? Like, I don't know. Taco Bell every day cannot be good for
the Pantera's Rider.
Is it?
It's on Pantera's Rider.
It's like how Taco Bell?
Taco Bell and like...
And look at them.
Hard bodies.
Yeah. They're clean and alive.
I think they were on the cover of Abs Weekly, right? All right, let's do another song. What do we got next? What's the next jam?
Another
Come Between Us?
Yeah. What is it?
Another Come Between Us.
Okay, all right.
Nothing Come Between.
Nothing Come Between Us?
Nothing... You want to do that one?
You're saying it too fast. Nothing Can Come
Between Us. Nothing Can Come Between Us.
Yeah, I'm saying the wrong title, yes.
Okay, all right, here we go. Ill Fits live on Snacky Tunes on heritageradionetwork.com.
I'll never fall.
Fits live, Snacky Tunes. Nothing will come between us. No? Thumbs down?
No, I think
that's limp.
Limp. I know it's
and not in the biscuit
sense. You know that's on us. I mean, we have to play it a little bit quieter.
You can fix it before it goes in the air, right?
Yeah.
I just need to do some quick overdubs.
Yeah.
It'll only take a couple hours.
Yeah, we're gonna auto tune this live session, the whole thing. We're just running it through the limp up factor.
Yeah.
So what's the plan for the band? What's the plan for the rest of the? I know summer's almost done. So fall, what are you guys looking at?
I think
two shows.
We're playing a show Thursday. We can plug Brewer Falls.
I love that place.
With Virgin Forest's Heaven's Jail band, who I think changed their name to Time Donkey.
I played with both of those bands at Cameo the day.
Yeah, you had a bizarro. You had a Groundhog Day of that show.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, what did they change their name to? Time Donkey?
I think so. I kind of want them to.
I hope so.
I hope so.
Haven't they changed the name to Time Donkey?
I think so.
I don't think that's true.
They might not be true.
That
there's a really big difference between the two names. And Bad Girlfriend, who are studio mates, and this band called New Tongue.
Awesome.
We're also changing our name to
Thursday Brewer Falls.
These Fools.
The what?
It's between These Fools and the Trough Gremlins.
Yeah.
Trough Gremlins.
Oh, Trough Gremlins. That's a band that I want to go see on a... Like at 2 a.m. In Inwood, you know? Really, yeah. Just make that commitment.
Inwood.
You from Inwood? Who's in Inwood? No one. No one lives in Inwood.
I live two blocks away from here.
I feel like the Trough Gremlins went to high school with Guar.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like, oh, like, yeah, we're doing something totally different. It's like, nah.
I feel like they're probably a bunch of cool, pretty, sophisticated dudes who thought of a really good name for their band, maybe, is what I think about the Trough Gremlins.
So, Johnny, you came up with the name, right? Yeah.
It's about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, that sounds about like a 6 in the morning type of name.
I was just waking up.
Boston. Yeah, just waking up, about to go, I thought you were just finishing your jog.
He came back from a rough night of Trough Gremlin.
Yeah, Trough Gremlin. I'm about to go for a jog along the Charles.
Yeah. Oh my god. I sort of miss Boston. Actually, I only miss the food from Boston.
Are you from Boston?
I went to school at BU.
BU.
And I was saying earlier before that I was duped in thinking that all the East Coast had good Mexican food, but that was not the case.
Boston is good Mexican food.
And it's taqueria.
And it's taqueria is good.
Oh.
It is. It's amazing.
It really is.
I've driven 2 or 3 hours out of my way just to go to Boston just for that. Like, gone to Boston, gotten off 90. Went over to Anna's and just left.
Where is it?
There's a few locations.
Well, there's one. The first one was Brookline.
Brookline. That's the one I go to.
Brooklyn.
No, it's not.
It's the accent.
It is. It is not. All right. Well, let's get all the nuts and bolts. What do we got? What's
Boston sucks.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that there. It's my favorite pretty place. What? That? No. Yeah. Wink. You can't see me.
I'm gonna stay out of this conversation.
So what, you're a Yankees fan, Johnny?
No, not yet.
Not yet. He's gonna get him beat up if he ever does.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Granddad.
Sorry. Sorry, Dad. Sorry.
The patriarchs of the Punt family will all collectively beat him.
Sorry, Joe Perry.
Sorry.
Did you cry when they won the World Series? Yeah.
You cried like a little girl.
I had to leave the room.
You had to leave the room. You can't show emotion in Boston.
That was
you
the have night to cr- that go ben cry in the bathroom. And Matt Damon finally kissed. I heard.
That's finally what it took.
Yeah.
Two of the horsemen of the apocalypse: Matt Damon and Ben Affleck kissing, and the Sox winning the World
Series. Cried harder than you did when you lost your virginity.
That was also at a Sox game, right? All right, so I want to thank you guys for being here. We're gonna do one more song, but what's the Twitter and the website?
So far, we are. I've been. We just have a SoundCloud with one song on it, and that's SoundCloud.com.
Slash.
Well, yeah, slash ill.
I think it's Google
dash
SoundCloud.
Fits. Yeah, why don't you just Google ill fits in quotations, and you'll
find. That takes care of everything.
Find all kinds of Google links.
And our Twitter is ill fits, and you know, we'll hopefully have some more recordings and stuff up very soon.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys. I look forward to seeing you around the neighborhood. And the Brewer Falls show is this Thursday. Tickets at the door?
Yeah.
Tickets at the door. I don't even think they print tickets. Anyway, what's the last song we got? What's the name of it?
Last Year's Youth.
All right, so thank you so much. Never Forget and I are off for the next 2 weeks. We're going to Switzerland. We have a show in Zurich. So we're going to go and hang out. I think and try and find the real Swiss Miss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You mean like a girl?
You know she's 97, though.
Yeah, maybe Swiss Miss's granddaughter. I don't know. We're probably going to eat some raclette and hang out. And I don't know. Is that where...
You know who lives there? It's Lee Scratch Perry.
Really?
Yeah. He probably knows where she is.
Well, I'm going to go hang out with the Von Trapps. We'll go singing.
Yeah.
Go singing.
You know, like, great, great, great... I think the Adrian consent's like 14 there, so...
Awesome. I'll just ask.
I'll come with you.
You come with me? Oh, God. add another story to the life of Johnny. Oh, my God. All right. Well, we'll be back in September.
It's
I can take 2 weeks off, guys.
We got a ton of great bands and food guests. Thanks again to Dos Toros coming out. And here we go. Ill Fits live on Snack and Tunes.
You want to get a microphone closer to you?
I'll throw this over. Right. Okay, here we go. Thanks so much. See you in September. Thanks to Jack Carlos. Adios, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. We used to run this town, but I guess we don't. In the moon, we said we'd stick around, but I guess we won't. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.